Blog Talk Radio.
It's Tuesday night, and you know what that means. Flat Track Weekly Radio is here, bringing you up-to-date news and insight you won't find anywhere else on the planet. Hosted by Grand National Racer Corey Texter and AMA Pro announcer Scotty Dubler, this show is guaranteed to pack some speed. So sit back and hold on tight. Flat Track Weekly Radio is on, and now here's C-Tex and Hollywood.
Tuesday night, Flat Track Weekly Radio. I am Shayna Texter's brother, co-hosting alongside Scotty Hollywood Dubler. Scotty, what's up, man?
Not much. I like that introduction. Kind of makes me feel like I'm somebody. I mean, if I'm not, I don't have any brothers or sisters, so I'm just me.
I just think it's funny. I was actually just reading Shayna's new press release where she announced her plans for the season, and it got me thinking all the people in Daytona come up and They asked me if I'm Shayna's brother, and I want your autograph, because I'm Shayna's brother, not because I'm Corey Texter, but because I'm Shayna's brother. So, I thought that'd be a funny way to bring in the audience for our show tonight. I'm pretty excited about it. I put together some really interesting guests, Scotty. They're former flat trackers who went to the pavement, who came back to the dirt, and they're really talented, both of them in their own way, and they're both from Owensboro, Kentucky, which is, as most of you know, a hotbed for racing. You know, you have the Hayden family, you have Jake Lewis, Nick McFadden, and Hayden Gillum, and all the Gillum brothers. Tragically, we lost Ethan. I would say it was about 10 years ago, the youngest Gillum brother. Really, really nice kid, real fast rider. We miss him every day. But we're going to have the middle Gillum brother on the show a little bit later, Hayden Gillum. He went down to Daytona and raced Daytona Short Track and had some good results, a couple top 10 finishes. And we'll also have Nick McFadden on, who is a little bit younger than Hayden, but he also raced in the GNC2 class and performed quite well too, Scotty. He didn't finish quite as well as Hayden, but his speed was there. I think last year at the Indy Mile, he finished fifth or sixth. Really solid racer. So we're going to have two of those guests on here in a little bit.
Yeah, they're both great guests. You did a good job lining up our guests for this week's show. And I'm interested to talk about them, see what their plans are for this year, and see if they're going to be doing any more flat tracking other than maybe just Daytona. Schedule works out where they can hit some of our Grand Nationals or if they're going to hit any of the All-Star races or any of that stuff. So two really fast young riders. I think Hayden's a 2010 AMA Horizon Award winner. They've won, both of them are road race, stars as far as I'm concerned. They're both awesome on the pavement as well as on the dirt. So good job lining those up. Any racing coming up this weekend for you, or are you still hanging out in the gym?
Yeah, no, I don't spend as much time at the gym as I was before. I do a lot more cardio now, but I was actually in the gym today. Me and Briar went over there and we did a CrossFit workout. The weather was really crappy here. I actually put on all my bicycling gear, went out the road, went probably a half a mile, came around and turned around and came home. The skies were opening up. It looked like it was going to downpour, and I wasn't about that life. I was going to get caught out in the storm, so I came back and we went over to the gym and did a workout. So it was good. No, there's not a lot of racing going on here. There was a race last weekend at Trailway Speedway, which is actually my favorite racetrack. I opted not to race because a couple reasons, actually. The last couple times I've been there, this season opener, the track's been really wet and soggy from the winter, and it gets really rough, and a lot of guys get hurt there. And I have a lot of things to plan for in the next couple months, so I didn't want to get hurt racing around there. And the other thing was the payout at that track. I'm not sure why, but it's pretty terrible. It was $110 to win, and I'm not going to go out there risk busting up my body for $100, especially when Goodyears these days cost $200 a piece. So I was guaranteed to shred a Goodyear if I went, and I just pros and cons. The cons outweighed the pros. I guess I'm getting smarter in my older age, but No racing last weekend for me, Scotty. I did go and I spectated. It's kind of hard to do at your favorite racetrack, but it was good. It was a good day.
I got to back up just a little bit. You said Breyer went to the gym. Is that a first? Did somebody take pictures of that happening earlier today?
He's not bad, man. He trains, you know, more than the average flat track racer, I would say. But yeah, he was there. He's actually pretty decent in the gym. He's a really good rower. He's a really really good bicycler. He really good mountain biker. He's actually I think he's a pro mountain biker or Cat One or whatever you call it in California. So he's not bad. It's good to have somebody to push you in the gym. I typically work out by myself. Do a lot of my bicycling, running, training, and so it's good to have somebody, Breyer here, and occasionally we get Shane out there on the bicycle, so it's good to have a group to train with. Now that the weather's getting nicer, they're fair weather riders, so the weather's over 55 degrees, they'll join me on the rides, but otherwise I'm doing it solo half the time.
I hear you. Well, I hate to rub it in your face, but I think it's about 79 degrees outside and the sun's still out, so it's nice here. I'm actually in Oklahoma right now getting ready to head to Colorado, so it's pretty nice down here. I had to get some yard work done and take care of a few things around the house. I saw on Instagram earlier today or maybe yesterday that there's going to be a half mile in Gratz, Pennsylvania. I think that is Bear is actually putting that one on, Bear Productions. Do you know much about that race?
Yeah, I know Pass Valley Speedway is racing next Saturday. Well, this coming Saturday, actually. Pass Valley is a pretty well-known short track around Pennsylvania, really banked track. I really like that place. It's a cool track, man. I just like it. It's a really fast short track. I don't know if I'm doing it or not. My brother's wrestling this weekend in Wildwood, New Jersey. He's a really big wrestling tournament, so I'm kind of on the fence. I'm definitely going to the tournament on Friday, but I might try and swing out and race that Saturday night. And then Gratz is the following weekend. Oh, I'm sorry, it's the weekend in between. And then Gratz, I think, is the 18th of April. It's a cushion half mile. It's been around for a while. I think my dad used to race it back in the day. They stopped having the event there, and then the Bear family brought racing back to Gratz. It's a pretty cool racetrack. It's a cushion. It's typically pretty smooth. It brushes off and gets kind of a groove on it there at the end of the day. They don't really have a lot of time to water the track after every single race because of all the classes and, you know, you got to get done before. There's no lights there, so it's a day race. But that's a typically good, you know, it's a good track. I'm trying to convince Babe DeMay and, to bring in his, the twin, the FZ07. I'd like to do some testing there at the Gratz half mile. So talking to him a little bit, trying to get him to bring that bike over to Pennsylvania so I can get some more laps on it. And I'll probably do that event, Scotty. I'll probably ride my Lancaster Honda CRF 450 there. So I'm pretty pumped on it.
That's pretty cool. I just, think about things that have been going on, things that are coming up. And I guess somebody put a post on Facebook that Jethro Halbert actually three years ago today, he won the San Jose Indoor. So, you know, our thoughts are still with Jethro. I hope he still continues to get better every day. And I know it's a tough road he's got going on, and just hope he continues to progress. You know, I haven't heard a whole lot lately, so hopefully he's doing well.
No doubt about it, yes. My thoughts are constantly with Jethro and Gage Bielan. I see he's getting better every day, and every time I see that kind of stuff, it puts a smile on my face. You know, it's, like I said, the sport's one big family, so it's good to see them guys recovering. I also wanted to give a shout-out to all of our sponsors while I'm on their opening segment here. Tommy Duma Fine Jewelers. We're going to get some photos of some of the jewelry that those guys make for the slideshow you guys can check out while we're doing the show. It's awesome stuff. I know I talk about it every week, but if you get a chance, go on their website, tdfj.com. They have a section for the flat track stuff right on the website, and check out their products. They really do a lot for the sport, whether it's our talk show, they sponsor a couple riders, they donate a Rolex, and this year they brought on, I think it's like a Super Bowl style ring for the GNC2 champion. Just check out their website, you know, hit them up. If you need some jewelry, if you're in the market, give them guys some thought and support the people who support the sport. I want to give a shout-out to Evans Coolant, John Light, the whole crew over there at Evans Coolant. They do a lot for the sport, and they're a sponsor of our talk show. And Gary Kinsler from Light Shoe. Can't say enough about him and his family and all they do for the sport as well. Anything you need regarding a hot shoe, check out lightshoe.com. As always, Scotty's got the Instagram popping at Flat Track Weekly Radio. Followers are growing. He's actually getting too happy with the Instagram. Had to kind of lay a couple ground rules on one photo a day, but it's growing, and I can't thank him enough.
Put the brakes on for me.
Put the brakes on for me.
Slow me down, man. What the heck you doing? I mean, I was having fun. I found a bunch of old photos, and you're like, slow it down, back it down, Nelly. It's like I was getting on a roll. I mean, that's how things go. You progress, you know, like you like Ronnie Jones said last week or whenever we had him on, he pushed a snowball over a hill and it just gets faster and faster and it's more and more. And that's what I was doing. I was building up, the fan base was growing, I'm just going up and had to back it down. Man.
No, it's going well, man. I love seeing what you post almost all the time. I don't know what you're going to post. So first time on there is when I see it, and good mix of modern and past photographs of, you know, past champions, past heroes of the sport, current riders, all kinds of great stuff. So check us out on Instagram at Flat Track Weekly Radio. We're on Facebook. That's where you can find news and updates for the show, who we're going to have as a guest. You can find the archive podcasts on there, Facebook at Flat Track Weekly Radio. So hit us up on social media. My Twitter's up right now. If you have a question for Hayden Gillum or Nick McFadden or Scotty or me, hit us up at Corey Texter, at Scotty Dubler. So that's what we got going on here regarding the show. I'm excited to keep it rolling. I think we're really starting to gain momentum here as we head into the season, and I'm looking forward to what this show has in store for the year as well as the series.
Yeah, I'm too. It keeps getting better and better, and we get seems like we're getting a lot better guests. I mean, we start up, you know, really strong with you know, previous champions of our sport, and we've had a lot of people in different aspects of the sport. You know, we've had people off the Blue Crew. We've had, you know, Dan Johnson, who is the former who ran dirt track for AMA Pro. Now we got the current one, Ronnie Jones. We had him on here. We got just a big variety of people. And if you have suggestions for guests, you know, let us know that too.
Troy Bayliss, Jared Meese, Brad Baker, Bubba Schobert, Scott Parker, Chris Carr. Got a lot of fast guys on this show, so it's pretty awesome. My favorite guest still to date, Scotty, is Rusty Rogers. I was thinking about it the other day, and man, that's the first time that I was truly like, I was intrigued like majorly about what he was going to say next. I was really focused in and didn't want the show to stop. I just loved watching that guy race when I was younger, and I think the biggest difference between him and some of the other guys is I never met Rusty. I never even talked to him until we brought him on the show. So just had a lot of questions for him, and I thought that was a great segment. So as always, yeah, check the show out every week. We definitely have a wide range of guests, and you know, some of them have pretty interesting things to say. You know, it's check out the old podcast on my website. I have them on there. Promos by ctex.com, and you can listen to, I think they date July. We have all the ones from July on to now, and there's some interesting stuff on there. So, yeah, I'm excited, Scotty. Springfield's not too far away. I mean, it's not as bad as Pomona to Daytona, but it's still a month and a half away. So counting down the days, just I'm excited, dude. I really am. I wasn't even sure if I was racing Daytona. Went down to Daytona, built up some momentum there on the FC07 at the Savannah Volusia races. Did decent at Daytona, had good speed, and I'm just really looking forward. Got the bug back, man. I'm excited to get to Springfield.
I am too. I'm really looking forward to it. I'm not sure how many more races I'll do before Springfield. I know I got one more Monster Truck weekend. That's this weekend. And then I get hopefully have a couple weeks off and then get ready for some flat track racing. As I mentioned before, you know, Steve Nace has the All-Star Series. He's got some vintage races. I think the Henry, Illinois, half mile is going on the first weekend of May, same weekend as Tim Humphreys' race, the Ohio Valley Classic there in Lebanon, Ohio. So some upcoming stuff coming up for sure. I'm not 100% sure which races I'll be going to just yet. I figure out a few things with some of the promoters and stuff. I know I'll be at all the AMA Pro Grand Nationals. I'm super excited about that and excited to be partnered up with Chris Carr, too. I think as we talked off, you know, during the off week here, I talked to Chris Carr a little bit, and we feel we can have more time to talk about things that like Springfield and even on the half mile, like the Daytona short track was just so action packed. It was hard to go back and forth between me and him. Like he would have to take it for a lap or two to talk about something. In the meantime, we may have missed one or two other things. So there's a lot of action down there at Daytona. So I think our coverage will continue to get better, you know, with the fanschoice.tv and for the fans live at the stand. So I'm looking forward to this season. You know, I can't wait for Springfield.
No doubt about it. Yeah, if the fans have any questions for Scotty, you know, I can't really have Scotty on as a guest because he's my co-host, but if you have any questions about Scotty, the transition from last year's Fans Choice to this year, it's a completely different format. If you like it, if you don't like it, hit us up. Let us know if you have any ideas, suggestions. Scotty would love to hear them. So, that's about all I got for this first segment, Scotty. We're going to take a quick break. Our first guest is on the line. When we come back, we will have Nick McFadden. We'll be right back.
Tom Duma Fine Jewelers, the official jeweler of the AMA Grand National Flat Track Series and proud sponsor of the Flat Track Weekly Radio Show. What does flat track and jewelry have in common? Tommy Duma, former GNC National number 26 and 62.
This is Tommy Duma, and I want to personally take care of all your jewelry needs. My team and I will custom design and handcraft any type of racing jewelry, from custom number plates to steel shoe pendants in any precious metal. You can even send us your favorite photo, and we'll recreate it as a stunning pendant or ring of your choice. Besides custom racing jewelry, Tom Duma Fine Jewelers is home to the nation's top designers like David Yurman and Rolex. We offer the best names in engagement ring designers like Tacori, Verragio, Michael M., Danoff, Simon G., A. Jaffe, and many more. With direct connections to one of the world's largest Israeli diamond cutters, I can guarantee that TDFJ diamonds will have more sparkle. This also means that our diamond prices are as competitive as any brick-and-mortar jewelry store or anything that you can find on the internet. Helping past and current GNC racers with their jewelry needs since 1982. I look forward to becoming your trusted jeweler as well. Tom Duma Fine Jewelers, the official jeweler of the AMA Grand National Flat Track Series and proud sponsor of the Flat Track Weekly Radio Show. Check us out at TDFJ.com.
Our first guest is on the line, and, man, I feel old talking to some of these guys, Scotty. I watched him watch this next guest race when he was on 50s. It was my first year racing. I was on a 450, and this kid was on a Cobra 50, had a big full-face helmet, ripping around in the 50cc class, and now he's racing in the pro ranks. So it makes me feel old, but our first guest is on the line. He's a road racer slash flat tracker, Nick McFadden. Nick, how are you?
I'm pretty good. Just back here in Kentucky doing a little schoolwork, trying to graduate here in a few months, and just training and doing all the normal stuff for racing and trying to coordinate two programs so that I can go road race this year as well as do a little bit of dirt trucking too.
Yeah, I see your Instagram posts and all that. You do a lot of training with Roger Lee Hayden, Jake Lewis, and everyone over there in Kentucky. It's good having training partners like that to push you. I was talking with Scotty a little bit on the program. You were in Daytona. You rode both rounds at Daytona Flat Track. I'm not the statistician like Scotty is, so I'm not exactly sure how you did. I know your speed was good. I looked a couple times on the timesheets, and you were towards the top. You were pitted next to me, so I got the kind of – every time you'd come off the track, I'd be like, hey, Nick, what's the track like? You know, so that was cool. Got the pit next to you. But give us a rundown on how Daytona Flat Track went for you both nights, and were you satisfied with your results?
Yeah, you know, Daytona, it went all right for us. I was hoping for a little bit better. I was hoping to put it in night show both days, but unfortunately that didn't happen. That's just racing. But I came in both nights, qualified good both days, and just didn't get the job done. In the heat race, I had to start on the front row, and those guys were a little bit more aggressive than I was used to with the road racing stuff. Usually on the road race, they give you a little room. The dirt track guys just come up in there and put some rubber on the side of you. I wasn't completely used to that the first night, and then I made a few mistakes, got bumped off the groove, then pushed to the back. But the second night, I had a little bit better of a grip on things, and I missed the main by one spot. So, you know, it wasn't horrible. I made the night show both days, but I would have liked to have been up there in the front in the main events. But I guess we'll come back to Springfield Mile and see what we can do and hopefully get a top 10 or a top 5.
Well, when we brought you on, Nick, you talked about how hard it is putting two programs together. I know a lot of road racers in the past have had trouble getting the agreement or the approval from whoever they're road racing for to go flat track. And how hard is that to do? And you know, do you present that to the sponsors when you sign up, or does that, you know, somewhere down the road after you've signed up to race for somebody?
Yeah, you know, well, most teams that do both know that I like to do both, and they complement each other. Go road race, it helps on your dirt track, and go dirt track, and it helps with your road race. So I put that out there to all my sponsors, and most of them like it because it gets them some more recognition. But then again, it helps me a lot too. But, you know, in the past, I haven't had any trouble with it. They just don't like you getting hurt and taking a bunch of risk in the dirt track if you're riding for a big team in road race. But luckily, All the teams that I've been with have been cool with it, and I hope to continue to do it with both dirt track and road race together.
Well, it seems like you took quite a few years off from the dirt track stuff. You were really focusing on your road racing career. You turned professional in road racing. And then I think you rode the Indy Mile 2 years ago. You did pretty well. And then this past season, I think you were in the lead draft. You finished fifth or sixth. Was that kind of a turning point for you in your flat track career? Did that give you the confidence to kind of know that you can run up front in the pro ranks and be a contender?
Yeah, for sure. After taking a few years off, I really didn't know where I stood at. So I went to Indy Mile 2 years ago, like you said, and I was right there at the nick of making the main. I missed it by one spot, and that made me want to come back and do it more because it showed me that I could run up there in the front. So then this past year, I rented a bike from Jeremy DeRoder and made sure that we had good equipment, and he put me out there on some really nice bikes and went out there. Qualified pretty good, and then in the heat race I got hooked up there with the lead guys in the lead draft, and I think I came off third or fourth in the heat, and that just showed me right there, gave me a lot of confidence that I could run with the guys. Then in the main event I ended up sixth or seventh, somewhere around there, and that just brought a lot of confidence back to me that I hadn't lost all my dirt track skills, and maybe when I come back and do more, I really missed it. So then this year I bought a bike from David Wolf and put it together over the winter and got it ready for Daytona, and going to try to bring it back this season and get back into it.
How many dirt track Grand Nationals do you think you're going to be able to run this year, Nick?
Depends on the financial situation. I hope to get to 5 or 10 of them. I know I'm going to hit a Springfield Mile coming up the next round, and I think I'm going to travel out to Sacramento Mile with Tyler Butts and J.R. Addison, and then I know those two for sure, and then I hope to do probably 5 or 7 more of them after that.
Well, you mentioned you're going to do Springfield Mile, and the last couple seasons they stopped running the 450s for the GNC2 riders, and now they run the Twins. Now, what are your thoughts on that? Have you ridden a twin, and what twin will you be racing at Springfield?
I think bringing the twins in for the GNC2 class was a good idea, so it doesn't make it such a big jump for the kids that go right from the 450s to it into the GNC1 class. But Travis Smith, Trav Daddy, he's living down in Texas right now. He put me a twin together. And my dad's actually down there right now getting it for me and bringing it back so that we can start testing on it and ride it. But I've never rode one before, but I look forward to it because the speeds are similar from road race to what they'll be on the twin. So I think I should be pretty good on it.
How hard is it, Nick, to continue to go to school and race full-time, road race and dirt track full-time, and try to get your diploma? How hard has that been?
It's really hard, going from Daytona, missing a week and a half for that. I just got caught up this past week. They put a bunch of work on me. It's my senior year, so they're trying to make sure you get everything ready for college. So I go to school all day, then come home, train, and do my homework, and it's just really busy and really tiring. I'm ready to get out, maybe take a little bit of stress off of me for this season. But it's pretty cool. I go to a Catholic school that the Haydens went to, so they realize what the deal is, and they try to work with me as much as possible because they see what those guys did, and they're trying to help me out too. So it's not that horrible, but it could be a little bit better if I was already graduated.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Are you Springfield's the next next national on the schedule. I know you guys do some indoors over there. The Coin Indoor runs a little bit. I think there's some other races that happen from now until Springfield. What are you going to do to stay sharp before Springfield Mile? You said you might do some testing on the Twin. What's your schedule looking like in the next month and a half?
Well, Moto America's having the season opener in Coda, but the 600 Superstock class isn't there, so I'm not going to be able to go down there and run that. So my next event, April 17th through 19th at Road Atlanta, it's the well, it'll be our opener for the 600 Super Stock class for Road Race. So, but that's going to be my first time on the bike this year, so I hope I'm not rusty, because the last time I out on it was at the GNF last year. So I hope all goes well on that. Tim Bemis, Durfer's getting my bikes ready for that. But then on the dirt track side of stuff, I train over at the Hayden's house. They're a huge help to me. Roger, Nikki, and Tommy, and Earl, they've been helping me forever. And they have a little track over there, two of them actually, one for big bikes and one for small bikes. And we try to ride over there every single day that it's warm outside. So riding over there helps a ton for me and keeps me sharp for both.
Well, Nick, you know, Owensboro's been a hotbed for flat trackers and road racers for quite some time. Is there something in the water, or what's the secret down there?
I don't know. That's what I'm wondering. There's been a lot of road racers, J.D. Beats, Hayden Gillum, the Hayden brothers. Jake Lewis lives here now. And then there's been some NASCAR drivers that came out of here, a few actors. I'm not really sure. I guess it's just that cornbread beans that comes out of the field around here. I'm not really sure what's going on, but it seems like something's going on good around here.
That's awesome. Yeah, so you mentioned you ride with the Haydens a little bit, Nikki and Roger Lee, and everyone's wondering, man, is Nikki's going to make a return to dirt? I know he's yet to win a mile, and he does quite a bit of training on the dirt. I haven't heard what his lap times are, but Does he still got it on the dirt? And, you know, do you think he'll make a return someday?
I don't know. I'd really like to see him make a return, but I know that he shows it to us on the practice track. If I went down to Daytona and watched all the pro guys, I'd put him right there in the top three. He comes out to the practice track and puts it on me for sure by a second or two. He's probably one of the best guys I've ever seen ride a dirt bike. So, I don't know if he'll ever make a return, but I sure hope he does, because I know that he still's got that he still has it, and I know that he could run in the front with everybody that he left off racing with when he was a kid.
Yeah, no doubt about it. A lot of fans out there would agree with you. They definitely would like to see him back in the mix. Now, I have a question. You rode the GNC2 class. Jake Lewis went out there. Hayden went out there and rode it. There was a lot of road racers. Shane Narbonne. Was there any incentive or kind of, you know, to go out there and try and beat the other road racers? You know, were you guys kind of giving each other crap in the days leading up to the event? Miles Thornton was out there. Was there any fun kind of trash talking going on before the event started?
Oh, yeah, there was a little trash talk on Snapchat. It was just all fun and games, though. We were all bragging who was going to get top three there. But, of course, as the results showed, none of us even came close to that, besides Hayden Gillum. But there's always a friendly competition going on. All of us road racers are friends on and off the track, and we all like to beat each other. But at the end of the day, we're all friends, and I guess that's what it comes down to. But I guess Hayden did the best out of all of us, so he's got the bragging right.
Well, Nick, you're 17 years old, and I was doing some research on you before we came on the air, and it said somewhere that you've been on top of the podium at least 100 times, and that's considered a veteran, and a veteran at 17 years old is very impressive. Looking back on all the tracks you've been to, road race or dirt, do you have a favorite one, and if so, which one is it and why?
I really like Barber Motorsports Park. It's a road race track down in Birmingham, Alabama. It's real tight, up and downhill, back and forth. It's just like a real rider's track, technical. It brings all the aspects out in road racing, all the skills that you need. And if you can conquer that track, then that means that you're one of the best riders.
For sure. Barber, I've heard a lot of good things about that place. I had a brief road racing career, Scotty, and I never got to ride Barber, but hopefully in the future one day maybe I'll get down to that place and ride there. I heard the museum there is awesome as well. But, Nick, I won't hold you too much longer. Thanks again for coming on. We kind of got you on here at the last minute, but I know the fans appreciate it. Are there any sponsors you want to thank before we let you go?
Yeah, I'd like to give a big thanks to Rye Helmets, Speedy Leathers, CD Boots, Crushed MX, Oakley, Dunlop Tires, Second Amendment Gun Shop, Tom Carroll, Roger and Nikki, and the rest of the Hayden family. They helped me out a ton. my family for supporting me through all my racing career, Tim Bemisterfer for keeping my bikes in top shape every weekend, and Impact Armor.
Well, Nick, we appreciate you coming on, and best of luck in the 2015 season, and we hope to see it as many dirt track nationals as you can make it to, all right?
All right, thanks for having me.
You bet. That was Nick McFadden on the road race. He's number 16 on the flat track bike. He's number 18C. We're going to take a short break, and when we come back, we'll talk to number 69C, Hayden Gillum. We'll be right back. Evans Wireless Engine Coolant. Over the last 20 years, Evans Wireless Coolants have been tested and proven by OEMs, racing teams, and automotive aficionados to increase reliability and reduce operating costs. The operating temperature of an engine is very close to the boiling point of water. Hot spots within the cooling system can lead to localized boiling, generating steam which increases system pressure and prevents effective cooling. Evans Wireless Coolants have a boiling point of over 375 degrees. Far above the operating temperature of the engine. The high boiling point ensures that the coolant remains liquid at all times, enabling consistently effective cooling. Eliminating water eliminates the problem of boil over after boil over. Try some today in your race bike. For more information, log on to evanscooling.com or call 888-990-2665.
While we're waiting for Hayden Gillum to call in, and now that we're on the topic of road racing a little bit, Scotty, did you get to see the MotoGP opener at Qatar over the weekend?
No, I haven't. I read about it on a couple different places, and man, it's good to see the 46 back on top of his game. I heard it's really good racing throughout the entire field. So, what? Tell us about it.
Well, I watched the event. Actually, when was it? Yesterday, I think. Yesterday was on the. It was a repeat broadcast of it. It was the first I've gotten to watch it, but man, it was awesome. Those guys are so cool, man. It's cool to watch what they do, going around there, dragging their elbows on the ground. It's just, I don't know. I think it's the craziest form of motorcycle racing that you can watch or do. It's the talent that those guys have is unreal. I mean, Chad Reed and a lot of the top Supercross guys, they give them the MotoGP guys a lot of respect for what they can do. And I road race. I know how tough it is, and those guys take it to a whole new level. The bikes are so fast, and the hard braking, the way they maneuver the bikes around, it's really cool, Scotty. It's cool to see. And our boy Nicky Hayden, flat tracker, he's still over in the series racing. He's kind of, I don't know if it's subpar equipment. It seems like it. I know he still has the speed to get the job done, but he had a good result going there for a while. I think he was in 12th, came up past a couple guys, was in 12th, and slipped off a little bit. I don't know if he had bike troubles or what, but, you know, always rooting for Nicky over there to do well in the MotoGP class. He's a former champion in America, former champion in MotoGP, multi-time winner in flat track. As Nick said, he's one of the fastest guys I've ever seen also ride a motorcycle. So it was a good race. Valentino Rossi's a bad man, dude, and it was cool to see him go out there, 36 years old, I think they said, and kick their asses. It was a good race. He wasn't expected to win. I think he qualified on the third row, which is seventh, eighth spot, and worked his way up, passed a couple of those Ducatis, which was cool. I'm not a big Ducati fan. Nicky rode for Ducati and kind of left there, and you know, I just, for some reason, kind of root against the Ducati brand, but it was cool to see Rossi go up there and grab a win. It was a pretty exciting race.
Yeah, it was pretty cool, and I also saw that Danny Pedrosa is having to step away from the road racing or from the MotoGP for a little bit, so I'm not sure exactly what's going on, but Pedrosa is going to be off of the Repsol Honda, and I don't know who they're going to replace him with, but it's got to be hard to step off of such a good ride, but he must be definitely hurting worse than he'd originally alluded to, so hopefully he has a speedy recovery because he's a really fast rider to watch on the MotoGP circuit.
Yeah, I saw something regarding arm pump. Is that what you just mentioned, the arm pump issue? I mean, I've heard of arm pump as far as bike, but I've never heard of it so gnarly to where you couldn't race. You had to take time off. It's kind of a
right.
Kind of a weird deal, you know? I mean,
I think there's got to be a lot more to it than just arm pump. I heard it was from a get-off he had a while back, and it just the something hasn't healed right or something's not right. I mean, I usually don't hear of arm pump with road racers either. I mean, I hear of arm pump a lot more with flat trackers and specifically, you know, motocrossers when they're out there running for a 45-minute moto and you get arm pump really bad. I had arm pump a few times when I was racing, not too many, but just depends on your training and stuff like that. But I've never heard of that much arm pump in MotoGP or road racing either.
Yeah, I think it all depends on how intense you are when you ride. I mean, arm pump for me, I've always noticed is when I'm kind of stressed out racing or riding. If I loosen up and I'm not holding on to the bar so tight, I'm kind of relaxed. I never really had a lot of arm pump issues, and a lot of it is with your training. You know, if you're not in the good shape, you know, don't have a good core strength, it kind of escalates up to your arms. And your arms take a beating from it. And once you get arm pump, I think I've had it once, really bad motocrossing, and your arms just lock up, and you literally can't do anything about it. So luckily, I don't have any of those issues. I know there's a couple guys out in the flat track stuff who do have arm pump issues, and there's actually a surgery for it now, Scotty, that you can get done where it removes the veins on both your arms, and it's supposed to help out with the surgery. It's pretty popular in the motocross stuff. I know couple flat track guys that have got the surgery, road racers as well. So yeah, I mean, I think there is some arm pump in road racing, but like you said, it's typically more common in the motocross and flat track stuff.
Yeah, I know Sean McNary, who actually helped filled in for Barry Boone when Barry couldn't make it out to Elma, Washington. Sean McNary, I talked to him after the Daytona short track, and he was in the third spot. Actually, he's in second for a little while, then third in the GNC2 main event on the second night, and then he fell back pretty rapidly for a little while, and I talked to him after the race, and I said, what happened? I said, something going on with the bike? He said, no. I said, I got arm pump. I couldn't even hang on. So I know it does affect flat trackers too, probably more so on a short track, and, you know, Daytona tends to get a little bit rough, and he was probably nervous and hanging on a little bit too hard and maybe not breathing like he was supposed to be. I mean, I know if you take, you know, you got to breathe a lot when you're out there racing. Some people really have to think about it. You know, it's supposed to come natural to you, but you end up holding your breath like you're in a suspense movie or something like that, but you got to breathe while you're out there racing too.
No doubt. No doubt, Scotty. So we're going to bring on our next guest. He's late to class, but he is here. We'll give him an excuse for being a couple minutes late. I know he's a busy man. Hayden Gillum on the show right now. What's going on, buddy?
Oh, nothing much. I'm so sorry, guys. I was on a bike ride and pretty wore out and out of space. I'm so sorry, guys.
You got to pedal faster, man. You're slacking off. You didn't get back in time.
Nah, I'm so sorry, guys. How's it going for you guys?
No, it's been a good show so far. We talked to your buddy Nick McFadden just a little while ago, and we decided there must be something in the water there at Owensboro, Kentucky, because not only is there fast flat trackers, there's fast road racers, NASCAR, and he actually said there's been a few actors come out of there in your neck of the woods. So Corey and I are both rewatched. While we were waiting for you, we both got online and rented U-Hauls, and we're both moving to Owensboro, so can we move in with you?
yeah, sure. I mean, it's a little crowded right now. We got some people in town in between races, but I'm sure we can squeeze you in. There's a couple of us living here, so I'm sure someone has some room.
Right on. Well, we talked with Nick McFadden a little bit about his Daytona experience, and let's move on to you. Let's get right into it. Daytona flat track. You came out of there with a 6th and a 10th place finish. Maybe not exactly what you wanted, but pretty good results. You know, Daytona's a crapshoot. You never know what you're going to get. Walk out of there with 2 top 10s after not really dirt tracking much, you know, the past couple of years, to be honest. Were you satisfied with it? And let's talk about your weekend or weekdays there at Daytona.
Yeah, I mean, it was a lot of fun. I was just honestly, going down there, I didn't know if I was even going to make the mains. You know, I just went down there. I knew in the past I've been pretty quick. And, I mean, one year I came out there with the points lead after, you know, barely doing any dirt tracking. But, you know, the bike was a little off the first night. And, you know, all those guys are so, so fast. I mean, and, you know, not dirt tracking very much. It was definitely a little difficult. But, you know, I was a little tight towards the end of the races, kind of freaking out because all these guys were right on my butt and trying to pass me and bumping. And, you know, but it was a ton of fun. It was definitely, you know, it was a lot better than I figured it would be. But, you know, I came out of there with 6th place in the points and, you know, hoping to do a couple more tracks this year. But, you know, it was a ton of fun. I was just glad I got down there to play around with the dirt track guys. You know, it's a lot different than road racing. Everybody's a little more laid back and You know, it's more of a, it feels more like a family. You know, everybody there is just one big family. And, you know, it's definitely cool to see some of the guys I haven't seen in a long time. And, you know, like you, Corey, I hadn't seen you in a while and got to hang out a little bit. And so, you know, it was really fun. I was glad I got to go down there and do it this year.
Well, Hayden, you've been racing flat track since you were 6 years old, and I believe you're about 20 or right at 20 years old, and you're the 2014 AMA 600 Super Sport Champion. So you've been to a lot of racetracks, and I like asking this question to all the people we have on. Do you have a favorite track, and if so, which one and why?
We talking dirt track or road race?
Whatever your favorite track is. If you could load up in a truck tomorrow, which track would you go to and why?
Honestly, I think Daytona would be one. You know, not the end of the night Daytona where it's kind of grooved up, where it's rough, but, you know, that first practice out whenever it's kind of got that cushion and you just go in there and you throw the bike sideways and get on the gas real early. You know, that Daytona is a ton of fun, and I would love to ride there just every day of the week. You know, it's it feels like it's just a play track, you know. Just one of those tracks you go out there and just hammer down. And, you know, I think it's just a ton of fun. Most people don't really like it that much, but, you know, I like it just because you can go out there and you're just sideways all the way around it. So, you know, that would definitely be one of the top tracks. And then for road race, I'd say probably Barber in Alabama. It's just the facility is so nice and the track is real technical. And, you know, it's a great like it's got a great feel to it and it's got a nice flow and yeah, I love it there. So Daytona and Barber, you know, it's definitely those are definitely two of the tracks that I would love to ride at every single day.
Barber, that's exactly what Nick McFadden said. That's a popular racetrack. Daytona though, I don't think you've been racing in a lot of dirt track these past couple of years. You've forgotten what a super awesome racetrack actually is if Daytona is your favorite. No, it is a technical racetrack, and like you've mentioned, you've had some success there, and anytime you do well on a track, you tend to favor it and like it a little bit. So let's move over a little bit. Let's talk about your road racing side of things. You signed on with the MV Agusta team. I'm not sure the details of the whole deal, but you have a ride, which is awesome. You know, I thought it was crazy. It took you so long to find a ride. You know, you got second points the year before. You won the championship last year. But you got a ride. You're going to be at the first round of Call of the Americas in Austin. Let's talk a bit about that and how that ride came about and your expectations for the first round.
Yeah, you know, it was definitely kind of a last-minute deal. At first, you know, I was talking to them kind of early in the off season, and they were wanting to do a program with me, but you know, I was wanting to get on a 1000, so I kind of held it off a little bit, trying to see if there's a 1000 ride. But no, you know, nothing came about. And I've known those guys forever on the Veloce AMV Agusta team, and you know, I've known them since I was, I think, 11, maybe riding 125s and everything. So they've been around, and they're a really great group of guys. And you know, I'm looking forward to the season with them. The test at Austin, It was a little bit of a struggle because, you know, second time on the bike, and it's a lot different than the Yamahas and Suzuki. So it's a little bit it's going to take a little bit to get used to. But by the end of the test, you know, I felt pretty comfortable on it. There's a couple things going on with the bike that we got sorted out after the test. And, you know, I'm looking forward to going to the first round. It's going to be a challenge, but, you know, hopefully I can make up some time from the test and get up there, hoping to get a top five. But you know, we'll see. Those guys are all really fast, and you know, it's gonna be a tough year. But I think with the team that I've got, I think it can be a really good year for me.
Well, Hayden, you know, dirt track's a little bit different than road racing. There's, you know, a lot of places to test the dirt tracker and do some research on it. Are you have any more chances to do any more testing on that bike before your first race?
No, you know. Because right now we're leaving in, you know, 9 days for the first round. So, you know, we're not really going to have a chance to get on the bike again before the race. But, you know, I've been talking to the guys, and they've got a lot of stuff figured out. They've got a lot of stuff done to the bike from the test. So it's going to be a completely different bike. So, you know, I think come race time, I think we'll we'll really have the bike going wherever we need to. And I mean, we've talked about it a lot, and you know, it's kind of a work in progress right now. But you know, we got a lot of work to do. But I think with the group of guys we have, it's gonna be really good. You know, I think we'll be able to get everything done that we need to.
You mentioned earlier when you came on the segment that you were bicycling, you know, you were getting back from riding. And I know you guys train quite a bit. Nick McFadden says he does a lot of training with Jake Lewis and Roger Lee Hayden. And I know you do some training with JD Beach. How beneficial is that to have a guy like JD who basically, you know, he's a, kind of like an adopted brother. He lives with you guys and you guys do a lot of training together. Is it motivating to go out there and kind of train with a guy like JD and having so many great people around that area to train with? How does that help your program?
Oh, it definitely helps a lot. You know, JD, he's kind of like a freak of nature whenever it comes to, you know, his stamina and his workout routines and everything. He's just so, he's so dedicated to it. And, you know, he definitely pushes me to work a lot harder than I would if I didn't have him. You know, but this last year winning the championship, it definitely showed me a lot of what I could do if I, you know, push myself that extra bit. You know, and whenever we're on the bicycle rides, whenever he's just getting going, I'm starting to wear down a little bit. And, you know, he just pushes me and pushes me. The worst part is he doesn't even let me draft him. I mean, he makes me do it all by myself. So, you know, it's definitely a big help having him around. And then, you know, whenever we're on motocross track or on the dirt track or everything, you know, I push him.
Looks like we lost him. Maybe his phone down. Yeah, I don't know. Darn, I really wanted to hear that. It's all good. Hopefully he'll call back in, Scotty. But, yeah, I mean, I like to bicycle and train. And, you know, it's definitely motivating when you have somebody to go out there and push with. You know, I'm always trying to get Briar out there with me or anybody I can. I have a buddy up here, my one buddy Garrett, who I do a lot of bicycling and running with. And running with somebody, you know, you can definitely, your times just drop. You know, you push harder, it gets kind of competitive. You want to beat the guy you're training with. And it's just motivating to kind of give each other like the pat on the back, you know, keep going, you got this, keep rolling. So it definitely does help having people to train with, I think, anyway.
Yeah, I think it definitely does. I mean, it's hard to go out there and ride by yourself, whether you're on a bicycle or a motorcycle or you're out there running. You know, it's definitely a lot more fun when you're riding with somebody or somebody there to push you or somebody that coax you on a little bit. But it definitely helps to have somebody. Have you ever ridden down there at the Hayden compound at all, Corey?
I haven't, man. I've talked to Nikki a couple times on Facebook, and I'm like, dude, send me an invite, and I'm there. So I was talking with Hayden a little bit down there in Daytona this year. Like he said, we got to hang out, and I was talking to him a little bit. I'm like, man, you got to get me down there. I want to train with you guys and ride with you all. So hopefully sometime this year I get down there and do some ripping with some of those guys. They're definitely serious about their training and their riding, so it'd be cool for me to go down there and, you know, get some time with them. But Hayden's actually back on the line. Hayden, how are you, dude? We lost you there.
Yeah, I don't know what happened. I was talking 1 second, and I looked, and whenever I got done, y'all didn't answer. So
I didn't know if you paid your
not,
cell phone
sure
or
happened.
What.
So, but
right,
yeah, I don't even know where I left off at.
Well, we were talking about the training with JD. You said how much he pushes you and doesn't let you draft you and stuff like that. So That was cool to hear about. Does it kind of carry over to the, like, nutrition side of things, too? I know JD's kind of, he's really cautious about what he eats, and he's just a really fit dude. So does he kind of give you crap if you want a scoop of ice cream or something like that?
Oh, yeah. I mean, he definitely does because my portions tend to get a little bit bigger than his. So, you know, he kind of cracks down on that quite a bit, too. So, you know, it's definitely a big help having him around. He's definitely he definitely pushes me to eat better, train harder, and you know, he helps whenever I'm out on track. Well, last year he helped quite a bit whenever I was out on track. He would get out there and watch me a little bit and kind of coach me. But you know, this year is going to be a little different. I got a race against him now, so we'll see if that changes the relationship a little bit.
when we first brought you on the call, Hayden, you said something about possibly trying a few more dirt tracks later on in the year. Do you know which ones they are? Have you worked that out with your road race team? Are they going to let you do that?
I'm planning on doing Peoria, and that's probably about the only one that I'll be able to do that's on the pro schedule. I'm not going to have a twin or anything to ride on the bigger tracks, so I'm going to try and get to a couple of the small tracks and, maybe do some Steve Nace All-Star races. And I don't know. We'll see. We'll see as the year goes along and, kind of figure out what the road race team wants to do and what their schedule is looking like for me and if we're going to have any tests that conflict with all those races. So, I don't know. I think I'll be able to do a couple. Definitely hoping to do Peoria. That's the main one I want to get to. Haven't been there in a couple of years and kind of let myself down whenever I was there. And I've gotten a little bit crazier now, so I think I can just fend it off of that big jump. So we'll see how that goes.
Right on. Yeah, I'm excited for that, man. I know the road races typically go well, Peoria, and it'll be good to see how you do. But I'd like to see you out of some of those half miles too, man. If you need a bike to ride, let me know. I know you got a couple fast bikes, but I'd like to see you out there at Hagerstown and some of those clay half miles. I think you could have a really good shot at winning one of those things.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, we'll have to see whenever the time comes. Right now the main focus is road racing. We got a lot of work ahead of us, but definitely want to get out to a couple of the dirt track events. So, yeah, I'll definitely let you know if I decide to do one of those.
Right.
All
on.
Right. Well,
Sounds
hey,
good.
We appreciate you coming on the show. We know you're very busy and you just got off the bicycle, so it's probably time to eat some grub before you go to bed. But before we let you go, you want to thank any of your sponsors?
Yeah, definitely. I just want to thank Veloce Racing, Spiros, Gabrielis, and Novi Iso and Jerry Clark. Those guys have taken me on this year and looking forward to doing that. And then, the whole Team 95 Gillum family, without my family, it would be a big ask to do everything that I've done. And, definitely Bell Helmets, Cortec Leathers, Alpine Stars, Fly Racing, just Lilas International and Motion Pro, Saddleman, all those guys, they help make my program run and make me look good. So definitely awesome to have those guys on.
Well, thanks again, man, for coming on the show, and we'll all be rooting for you, Hayden, down there when the series kicks off. The Moto America series, starts off there in Austin, Texas, here in a couple of weeks. So, good luck, have fun, and kick some ass, man. We'll be rooting for you.
Hey, thanks a lot, guys.
All right, that was Hayden Gillum, the 2014 AMA 600 Super Sport Champion on a dirt track. He's number 69C on the road racer number 69. We're going to take our final break, and when we come back, we'll have some closing thoughts. We'll be right back.
Light Shoe, the number one maker of steel shoes for dirt track racers. Light Shoes come with a one-year guarantee on light shoe material and craftsmanship. Light Shoes are worn by the pros like Mark Marquez, Sammy Halbert, Wyatt McGuire, Jeffrey Carver, and former Grand National Champion Brad the Bullet Baker. Light Shoes can be purchased separately or as a boot and steel shoe combination. Light Shoe also carries hot shoe straps, t-shirts, and hoodies. For more information, check out lightshoe.com. Light Shoe for the racer's heart and soul.
I like that kid, Scotty. Hayden Gillum's growing on me. He's a funny guy. I got to hang out with him more than I ever have in Daytona this year, and he's growing on me. He's a cool cat. I like hanging out with him. Nick McFadden too. They're both really, really nice guys, and it's cool to have somebody in another series who you're friends with to root for. And in road racing, motocross, whatever it is, the GNC2 class. It's cool to kind of have somebody to root for. It makes you follow the sport a little bit more. So really excited for the Moto America series to kick off. And a lot of my dirt track buddies down there, hopefully they do well, JD, Hayden Gillum, all those guys. So I'm excited for it.
Yeah, are you going to get to go to any of the road races this year? Have you even looked at the schedule yet?
Yeah, I was actually on the schedule today a little bit. Matthew Miles, my real good friend, actually, who kind of got me in with Cycle World, and he's actually taking on a new job with the Moto America series. So I'm hoping to get to one or two of the events just to spectate. I have no plans at all to do any road racing. You know, as most people know, the road racing series is very expensive. You know, the tire bill is $4,000 or $5,000 possibly at some of the races alone. So I'd love to get back on a road race bike and race. It wouldn't be at a professional level, at least where I'm at in my career. It would just be at a local regional level. But I would definitely like to go to an event. I don't know. I haven't really done the math whether or not whether or not the schedules conflict from road racing to flat track. But if I have an off weekend and there's a race nearby, I might go to Jersey. That's only 2 hours from my place. But between flat tracking and my duathlon schedule, I've been really getting ready for that. So we'll see what happens. But I got a wedding to plan for that's coming up here at the end of summer. So a lot of stuff going on, but I'd like to get to a road race, man. It has a special place in my heart. My dad was a road racer. I had a brief road racing career, so I definitely do enjoy that sport quite a bit.
Yeah, that's one sport I never did try. I wish I would have. I think I'm a little bit too tall and too lanky for that stuff, but I wish I would have tried that while I was still younger and dumb enough to hang on to the bike. So I never did road racing. And one of the other things I wish I would have done, I wish I would have drove a sprint car, but kind of getting off subject here. One of the
You're not like too old for that, man.
Man, I don't know. My wallet's too thin. How's that? My wallet's too thin to drive one.
No, dude, I know. As soon as I'm done racing, motorcycles, I don't know when it is, but that's on my to-do list is sprint car racing. My grandfather's in the Sprint Car Hall of Fame, and I honestly think I'm twice the racer in a car than I am on a bike. I don't know whether that's saying much or not, but that's definitely on my to-do list, too. Maybe we'll start a sprint car team, Scotty.
Yeah, we might as well do something. I mean, we're both getting older. We're not getting any more smarter, but might as well.
I actually saw a video, Scotty, on, I think Jim Duffner posted it. It was from Tunica in 2003. Were you there? I think I saw you racing in that race.
I was there.
We were watching it. We saw a big, tall, goofy-looking guy racing around there in mid-pack, and I thought it was you, man, looking pretty competitive in your older age there.
Man, I was a lot younger then. I was still tall and skinny, but I think that was probably one of my last races. I didn't race much in 01 or 02, and I think 03, that was probably just about it. So, hung up the helmet and the steel shoe and picked up the microphone and got a few lucky breaks, and now I get lucky enough to still go to the Grand Nationals, but now I get to go up there and watch and try to relay the information to the fans. So I'm pretty lucky, and I don't think I would have I don't think I would be announcing races if I wanted to quit racing flat track back then. So everything happens for a reason. You just never know what the reason is until later on.
Exactly. And it's good to have options. You never know where your career might take you. So I also wanted to give – I mentioned this earlier on the show, but Shayna announced her team for this year just for some of the races. She's riding for six-man racing. And she's going to kind of run her own team. So the full press release is on AMA Pro Racing. But that's for – six rounds of the schedule. It's the 5 mile races and then the Charlotte round. And it doesn't mean she's not racing the other races on the schedule, the other half miles. She's working on funding for those events. So it's not that she's dodging any of the races she doesn't like, or she doesn't have the funding to, she doesn't have the funding at this point. She's working on a team right now to get out there and do the additional rounds on the schedule. So it's looking positive that it's going to happen. But as for right now, she has a solid program for those six races. And hopefully we can, get the other pieces of the puzzle together so she can go out there and do a full season this year.
Well, thanks for letting us know, Shayna's brother.
Yeah, no doubt, man. I said no doubt. I've been saying no doubt this whole show. I guess that's my new word. But no, I just thought I'd relay the info. People have been asking, and this is my outlet to relay the information. And I do quite a bit of promotional work for Shayna and stuff like that. So, yeah, that's the plan for her, and it's cool to finally get that monkey off our back a little bit. That's step one, to the season. It's just like every year it's so hard to put the pieces of the puzzle together to make sure you're at the track and go racing. And so that it's always good to get some news out there. We also announced today that McElroy Packaging, he's a good friend of ours and a sponsor, he's joining us again for this season to support our racing. So I want to give him a shout out as well. Without him last year, I wouldn't have been racing. He was kind of the big reason that I made a return to the schedule last year and decided to start racing flat track again after taking a year off. So big thanks to the whole McElroy Packaging family for continuing their support for us also.
That's pretty cool. We had a great show, Corey. Thanks for lining up our great guests, and look forward to see what we're going to do for next week. And, man, I'm just ready to go flat track racing again. Thanks to all of our sponsors, and thanks for all of our listeners for tuning in on the Flat Track Weekly Radio Show. That's all I got. Until next week, keep your wheels on the ground, feet on the pegs. How's that sound?
Sounds good, man. You don't have to go straight home, but you got to go home straight.
That's right. Corey's picking it up. You're gonna make a an announcer one day. How's that?
I don't know about that, man. But right on. We'll see you guys next week. Thanks again for tuning in.